Maybe it's something in the water. But South Jersey has more than a share of Jersey girls. You know what I'm talking about. Smart, sharp women who know how to take charge of a situation, fix problems, bring home the bacon, fry it up in the pan. Anyway, sorry. Jersey girls play a big part in our history. Clara Barton, who founded the Red Cross, Elizabeth White, who cultivated the blueberry, Alice Paul, who waged a lifelong battle for women's rights. Yep, over the past few centuries, South Jersey has produced so many definitive Jersey girls, there must be something to that whole water theory, especially when you hear the story of Anne Whittle. What? You never heard of her? Well, she was, as they say, a real piece of work. She was stern and no-nonsense. She was also smart, tough, take charge, and not scared of anything. Even a Revolutionary War battle that took place in her front yard. Literally. She was, in a lot of ways, very heroic. And she was from right here in South Jersey's Gloucester County. Come to think of it, she lived right along the banks of the Delaware River. Oh, that's nice. So, maybe there is something to that whole something-in-the-water theory. You know, the best way to get the best perspective on Anne Whittle's life is to make a visit to her house, which, more than 260 years after it was built, still stands on what today we call the Red Bank Battlefield Park. The park is a lot smaller now than it was when Anne and her husband James lived here. A whole lot more peaceful, too. As you can hear, this is a popular spot for families to hang out, have a picnic, go for a walk or run along the river paths, even have a little fun catching up on some history. But when the Whittles lived here, the property was a prosperous working farm that stretched out for more than 400 acres. Their house was pretty large, too. Even by today's standards, it is a good-sized house, which means by 18th century, it was considered huge. In the great room, there's a huge fireplace. It's so big, it takes up almost the entire wall. Fortunately, they could afford all that space. The Whittles were very successful farmers, and with seven kids, James, Benjamin, Job, Joseph, Hannah, Sarah, and John, heaven knows they needed their room. Ask any mother, kids can drive you nuts, especially when there's no TV, no Xbox, no Wii, which might be one reason why Anne was so, well, in the words of a famous doctor, Anne was probably not a lot of fun to live with, if you know what I mean. Oh, you don't believe me? Well, maybe you'll believe her. Right from her diaries, we get these gems.
Where is their manners to huff their mother? They are so cross to me, all of them, and so ugly and unmannerly that there never was a mother so unhappy as I am.
Here's another one.
Oh, I often think if I could so govern myself as never to laugh, not to say one word, but what would be of service, but to grieve and mourn always for myself and my children and this wicked world.
Ouch. Like I said, not a lot of fun. But before we write Anne off as a crank, we really need to look a little deeper, because Jersey girls are a lot more complicated than meets the eye. Another source of Anne's constant vexation was her family's complete and utter indifference to saving their souls.
First day this is, and the children and their father all a-gadding abroad. Oh, what is more wrong in my mind?
Well, that was her opinion of the situation, at least. Anne was a devout Quaker, maybe even overly devout, and she interpreted their doctrines very, very strictly. Quakers, also known as the Society of Friends, believed in simplicity. And as far as Anne was concerned, that meant no ribbons, bows, ruffles, or anything even the least bit decorative. Nothing. Nada. Zilch. And woe betide the young lady who tried to sneak in a bit of lace or a lad who sported a fancy hatband.
The young men wearing of their hats set behind. Next it's like must be a ribbon to tie their hair behind. The girls in Pennsylvania has got their necks set off with a black ribbon. A sorrowful sight indeed.
Wow. She had no qualms whatsoever about marching right up to them and letting them know what she thought about their sartorial sins. Like I said, a sassy, speak her mind, Jersey girl. And a smart cookie, too. Just the fact that she kept a diary tells us, since back then, many women didn't even know how to read or write. And back then, even smart women didn't have a whole lot of career choices. There was wife and mother and, oh yeah, wife and mother. That's it. Or maybe seamstress. I mean, sure, there were some exceptions, but generally a lot of really smart women ended up really frustrated. So Anne channeled her energies into home and hearth. and she was quite good at it. Even today, you can still see the traces of her talents. Anne never met an herb she didn't like, and she was quite a whiz in the garden. And what she grew was used for more than just adding flavor to food, which, given by what they had to work with, was surprisingly good. Thanks to the work of dozens of Green Thumb volunteers, Anne's garden is still green, so when you visit, you'll see many of the same herbs that grew there in the 18th century. You see, Anne was something of a Martha Stewart type inside the house, too. Most of the furnishings on display here in the house are true to the era, but not necessarily belonging to the Whitehall family. One of the 18th century pieces here is a spinning wheel, like the one she used to spin wool and threads for her family's clothes. And with all those kids, you can believe she had a lot of spinning to do. In fact, the spinning wheel is where Anne earned her street cred as a true Jersey girl. When Anne was about 60 years old, the Revolutionary War was kicking up into high gear. The Brits had taken Philadelphia, which was only about 8 miles up the river from their farmhouse. The Continental Army desperately needed to win to boost their morale, not to mention to gain ground. And with Anne's farmhouse right here on the banks of the Delaware River, the American troops thought it would be a dandy place to build a fort so they could aim at any British ships attempting to sail upriver. Fort Mercer was only about 638 feet from the Whitehall's front door. You can see some of the outlines where it stood, which means when thousands of Hessian troops attacked the Americans' fort, Anne was sitting, about 2 football fields away from the chaos. Soldiers were charging, cannonballs were flying, the British ships were exploding just a few yards away in the Delaware River. The noise was deafening. Now, most people would make a break for it and hightail it out of the line of fire and the crooked line of wayward musket balls, but not our Anne. There she sat, calmly working at her spinning wheel, refusing to be bullied into leaving her home, even when one of those wayward cannonballs came crashing through the north gable of her house. She just packed up her work and went down to the basement, where she continued to spin away. Now that's a Jersey girl. And if that was the end of the story, that alone would earn Anne a high five. But after the battle was done, and the Americans won, which, by the way, was a much-needed victory because the troops were really down in the dumps after getting clocked at Germantown and Brandywine and losing Philadelphia, she did something pretty extraordinary. She nursed the wounded troops right here in her house. Not just the American troops. She treated them all. Hessian, American, British, she didn't care. She was a Quaker, and as far as she was concerned, each and every one of them were God's children and deserved all the care she could give. Her Quaker farmhouse was turned into kind of a MASH unit. The whole place was in chaos, with wounded soldiers being dragged in the living room. And here in the back of the house, one room is set up with an old cot and artifacts that gives a sense of what went on here. Years of whipping up herbal medicine for her family now went to treat soldiers on both sides. But this is Anne Whitehall, pious Quaker woman we're talking about here. So even while she was treating the warriors, she took every opportunity she could to scold them for engaging in violence. She fussed at the Hessians for traveling so far to fight and kill Americans. She fussed at the Americans and told them that if they hadn't fought, they wouldn't have gotten hurt. She had something to say, and she took it as her duty to tend to their broken bodies and their broken souls. Is that a Jersey girl or what? A few days after the battle, Anne and her husband did what most other people would have done a heck of a lot sooner. They packed up and took off to spend some time at their children's home just a few miles away in Woodbury. About 8 or 9 months later, they returned to their home at Red Bank, and things were such a mess that James sent a bill to Congress to cover the damages, a total of £5,760.01, which translates into somewhere over $115,000. After they returned, life returned pretty much to normal. Her husband still wouldn't go with her to Sunday services, which remained a sore point for Anne. Standing here now with kids climbing on the playground equipment, families having picnics, folks running and jogging on the paths of the Delaware River, you'd never guess the role that the Whitehall House played in the American Revolution. You'd never guess that a simple herb garden outside and an old spinning wheel inside made a mark on history. And most of all, you'd never guess that the smart, gutsy, outspoken Quaker woman who lived here would define what it takes to be a true Jersey girl. This project is made possible thanks to a grant from the Garden State Historic Preservation Trust Fund, administered by the New Jersey Historic Trust and the support of Gloucester County Department of Economic Development and the Gloucester County Board of Chosen Freeholders. Stay tuned for other podcasts that explore South Jersey's historic past.